Hello, everyone. So our next speaker is Yimin Jing. He works for Baidu, and today he will tell us about how to interface Rust with C. Pitfalls, problems, how to solve them, how to overcome them, because documentation is one thing, but experience is something else. So please welcome Yijing.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. So my talk's title is 1,000 Ways to Die in Rust FFI and How to Survive. So basically, I'm going to talk about the lessons, the experiences we gain when we write Rust FFI code in our open source projects, actually in production. So my name is Yimin Jing. I'm a security scientist and engineer at Baidu X Lab. So I'm also the author of MesaLink. Basically, MesaLink is a TLS library providing OpenSSL compatible C APIs for Rust TLS or Rustos. So with MesaLink, we can bring Rust into many places where OpenSSL and C users dominate. For example, Android, a lot of places. At Baidu, we have deployed MesaLink in our applications running on Android-powered smart TVs. As of now, from my colleagues, I heard that MesaLink has accumulated about more than 4.5 million monthly active users, and it's rapidly growing. It's growing very fast. And in August, we managed to contribute code to the curl project. So MesaLink is currently one of libcurl's 12 TLS backends. And it is also one of the 7 backends that support TLS 1.3. And it is the only one which is written in Rust. And speaking of our X Lab, so we are a research lab based in California, United States. And for Baidu, Baidu is the second largest search engine in the world and the biggest one in China. X Lab is led by our chief security scientist, Lang Wei, and he's a big fan of memory safety languages like Rust. And we have several open source projects which are implemented by memory safe languages, including Rust, Go, and RPython. And MesaLink is just one of them. And if you were at Rust Fest Paris earlier this year, you may have seen our work about bringing Intel SGX to the Rust ecosystem, so which is the Rust SGX project shown here in the first row and the second one from the left. So in today's talk, I'm gonna share with you the experiences, the pitfalls, and the lessons we learned when we implement OpenSSL APIs in MesaLink with 100% Rust code. So first, we'll start from a simple Hello World FFI example and see how it ends in a disaster, a Manibox. So then I'm gonna cover 10 patterns and anti-patterns in writing idiomatic FFI code. And finally, a quick recap and future work. So throughout the code examples in this talk, if you've seen a green check mark, then it means this is a good pattern, and we recommend using it. And if you see a red cross mark, then it means it is an anti-pattern. It's not good to use. And a warning sign means a pattern we suggest to use with caution because it may involve some unsafe code and some assumptions you must be aware of before you use it. So let's start. So this is a Hello World example from the Rust programming language book, or the textbook. So what it does is very simple. So it converts, let me zoom in, so in case you can't see it. So what it does is to convert a string literal, which is Hello Rust here, to a raw pointer. So the string can be used by some external C code. So the no mango attribute here turns off Rust name mangling, so this function can be exported, and it makes the linker happy. So it works pretty well, but this function just says hello to Rust only, so here. So what if we want a function to say hello to more languages? So we got this one. Oh, let me zoom. We just add another parameter called who underscore PDR, which is a pointer to a string in C. You can put maybe Python, maybe Go here to pass it to our Rust function. And this function body consists of only two essentially two lines of code if you put the brackets on the same line. So the first line converts the pointer to a CSTR, and we convert the CSTR to a Rust string, a Rust STR. And we use the format macro to concatenate hello with the input, and we return it as a pointer. So this function has several bugs in this that simple two lines of code. So maybe let's just spend a few seconds to see if we can find them. Okay, so maybe you can guess. I'll put five red cross marks here, so at least five bugs. So first, you may have noticed the pointer, we haven't checked if the pointer is a non-pointer. So that's the first one. And the second one, the nrep here may panic. And as you know, if a function panics, it will trigger a stack unwinding. And a stack, if the stack unwinds across an FFA boundary, then it is totally undefined behavior. And the third one, the format macro here allocates a string on the heap. But this one on a heap. But the string would be out of scope immediately after the function returns. So the returned pointer is actually a dangling pointer. And at line 11, s_ptr returns a row pointer of star const u8. But here's the tricky thing. We want the function to return a star const c_char, which is a type defined in the libsecret. But this one, c_char, could either be u8 or i8, depending on the target platform. So on different platforms, this could possibly be a type mismatch. And finally, because a C string is an array of bytes which terminates with a null character at the end. And it, as you can tell from here, this string is not terminated with a null character. So basically, it doesn't return a valid C string pointer. So basically, five bugs here in just that simple two lines of code. So you can see it's not that easy to write correct Rust FFA code. So next, in the remainder of this talk, I'll be covering 10 tips we gained when we write Rust FFA code. So the first one, pointers anti-checks. So on top of everything, always check for non-pointers. So it's not just for Rust, it's for every language we know, like C, maybe, if it has a pointer. So for this one, I'd like to say more about checking opaque pointers. So when we implement the Mesalink C APIs, it is quite common that we generate an opaque pointer in Rust code and pass it to the caller in C. For example, the let me zoom in. So the SLCTX one, this type is an example of such pointers in Mesalink. When the caller in C uses this opaque pointer, for example, as a parameter of SSL read, defined here. It is our responsibility to check if the pointer is indeed what the Rust code generated for, because the C part, the C code may just cast the pointer to some type we don't know. So here the point is that we introduce magic bytes. For example, here I use U32 as a magic bytes. We use the magic bytes as type identifiers. So such magic bytes are used for every type of Mesalink that we may generate OP pointers for. We also add a trait called opaque pointer guard. And for each type that we generate opaque pointers for, we implement this trait for them. And we also assign a different magic number, for example here. The number can be anything. It can be a U32, it can be an array of U8 bytes, it can be anything you like. And you can assign it maybe just in the function, so as a constant. In Mesalink, we do it differently. We initialize this magic bytes with a random function. So when your library starts. So basically, every time you run our code, the magic byte will be different. So it increases some difficulty for some bad guys to reverse engineer our code and to do something bad with the pointers. So overall, the magic bytes carry type information, so we don't lose it when we pass the raw pointer to C. In that case, because the C can do anything to the pointer. And when the C pointer is passed back to Rust code, we can check the magic bytes to make sure that it is indeed what we generated for. And for this one, let's back. So tip 2 is about type conversion. This is one of the most common mistakes. Rust strings are very different from C strings. So C strings are now terminated arrays of bytes, while Rust strings are Unicode encoded bytes. So the good thing is that Rust provides the CSTR to handle the conversion. So the bad thing is that from underscore PTR here, it only accepts the raw pointer as the input. But if you recall in C, for example, like str ncpy, it also has a parameter of length. This is because from underscore PTR internally calculates the length of the string using strlen. If you check the source code, you will see. So in some cases, if the input string, the pointer here, if the input is not properly terminated at the right position, so you may incur some out of bound read. So as I suggest here, using the warning sign, additional checks may be needed to verify if the C string is properly terminated at the right place. So otherwise, you will get an out of bound read. And here's the another one I just mentioned before about the libsecret. It is either i8 or u8 depending on the target. So in some platforms, for example, on x86 platform, C underscore char is i8, but on ARM platforms, it is u8. So the solution is to implement two variants of the function, so for u8 and i8 respectively. Another solution is to cast the slice with the help of raw pointers, with the pattern here. This pattern is recommended in the documents of STD mem:: transmute. Without using transmute, you can also do it as well. Tip 3 is about getting C pointers from Rust strings and Rust objects. So we know that references carry lifetimes, so the bar checker can check the lifetimes for us. But the raw pointers are different. So we must make sure a variable always outlives its pointers. So for constant strings literals in MesaLink, for example like this one, we represent them as 30 U8 slices. And we manually add a null terminator at the end, like this one. So the variable always outlives the pointer. And for strings with a shorter lifetime, for example, local variables, C string is the better way to do so. It creates a null terminated copy on the heap, and then we can leak a pointer with into raw. But this approach may leak memory, so if the leaked string is not freed later. We'll talk about more later in our talk. And for getting C pointers for Rust objects, the similar rule applies. A variable must outlive its pointers, otherwise you get a dangly pointer. So in the example here, we are casting a reference as a raw pointer, and use the pointer as a return value. So bang, it's bad. So because the foo does not outlive foo pointer, you get a foo underscore PDR. You got a dangly pointer here. So what we do in MesaLink is we frequently use box into raw to leak a pointer. So basically what we do is to transfer the ownership from Rust to C with into raw. So then so in C code, we pass the pointer back to Rust, and then we derun the raw pointer and do things and do other stuff again. Tip 4 is a very interesting case. The com is not visible here. Actually, it's part of ActiveSwap, if you ever heard of it, issue 289. So someone complains that a lot of bad patterns were used in ActiveSwap. For example, like this. So we declare a foo, which is contains a string, and we define immutable variable here, foo here. And it uses this kind of trick. And save, you cast a reference as a star const pointer and cast it against as a star mute pointer and dereference it. You get a mutable reference, and you can just manipulate it. the Yoruba checker won't complain a single word about it. So this is definitely a bad pattern. So don't do it. Yeah. So yeah. So but there's cell and rev cell to help you do interior mutability. So don't use this one. Memory allocation and deallocation for tips 5. So actually, if you handle them improperly in unsafe ROS, so they may cause a lot of problems, such as memory leaks and dangling pointers. So in safe ROS code, the ball checker usually identifies and prevents more than 99% of memory bugs. But if unsafe ROS code and role pointers kick in, so things start to get very complicated, and a special caution is advised. So here we show a non-exhaustive list of things that needs your attention. For example, the format macro, as I said, it allocates a string on the heap. And the reference counting RC and ARC are also on the heap. And autoscope variables are also implicitly deallocated. So the last one, into raw, needs some a little bit of discussion. So we know that the box into raw can be used to leak a pointer. So the question is, can we call into raw in ROS and free it in C? So if ROS and C use different memory allocators, like a few months ago, before global alloc is stabilized, so the answer is definitely no, because your system allocator and ROS gmalloc they don't share information. In general, we also don't recommend doing so because we think the best way is to allocate in ROS and deallocate in ROS, and allocate in C and deallocate in C. So ROS and C are totally two separate worlds. Only they communicate with the FFI interface. And tip 6 is about panics in FFI code. Basically, what's the bad thing is that panics may trigger stack unwinding, and unwinding past the boundaries undefined behavior. So the suggestion in the documents is to use catch unwind to catch the stack unwinding at the boundaries. And in Mesa Link, we also use the rustic error handling pattern along with Mesa Link's internal error queue to handle this kind of panics. So despite that we can catch and stop stack unwinding using catch unwind, it doesn't mean that we can just let our Rust code panic. It's bad. Panics are kind of good for in terms of preventing undefined behaviors, but panics also have a negative impact on user experiences. So in Mesa Link, we always prefer to write some robust panic-free ROS code. So these are the things that may panic at runtime. For example, ref cell panics if the dynamic power checking fails, copy from slice panics if the sizes of the source and destination slices don't match. The unreachable macro also panics if it's indeed reached. And dynamic overflow checks also panic if it is turned on. By default, it is off. It sort of tries to turn it on or turn it on or off or not. So also to watch for is dependencies and callback functions, because you don't know if they are panic-free or not. So really be careful. And tip 7 is about converting file descriptors. So we are talking about C underscore int and the libc conconf file.
Two kind of file descriptors.
Actually, in Rust, you can use the from raw FD, sorry, typo here, from raw FD,
at least for Unix, to convert file descriptor into Rust objects like file or TCP stream.
But the problem is that this function usually doesn't validate the file descriptors.
So we don't know if the file descriptor is good until a later operation returns some IO errors. Maybe socket cannot be connected.
So what we suggest here is we validate in the file descriptor with libc's fcntl, so we can know if the file descriptor really exists, it is valid or not. And for the libc's file pointers, because Rust and Rust SDD do not have such types, so we still have to use the unsafe libc using fdopen and file number. We can convert a file pointer to an integer file descriptor. And tip 8 is about copying data from C into Rust. So basically, we have three approaches to do so. First, we can use the libc as we did in C. We use memcopy and memmove. It works, and of course, it's not the rustic way to do it. The second approach, we use the ptr concom copy non overlapping,
It also works. It is essentially semantically equivalent to a memcopy in C. But personally, I still prefer the third one using a combination of PTR column com from raw parts plus slice column com copy from slice. The reason is, so using from raw parts, you can get a slice and you got a chance to validate the buffer before you do some further actions on it. For example, if you are dereferencing a pointer, which is a C string, so by using from raw parts, you get a U8 slice. You can check if the buffer is terminated with a null character at the end. And using copy from slice, you get a free boundary checking because copy from slice, you check the length of the source and destination slices if they match. If they don't match, it will panic. So overall, using the third approach, we get more control and also free security checks. This is the one is the most interesting one about converting C enums to Rust enums. C and Rust C enums are nothing like Rust enums, despite Rust supports C style enums. So Rust enums are essentially a range of integers where you cannot define duplicate values. But in C, because they are just simply integers, you can do so very easily. For example, you can see I have level default equal to 2, also level high is 2. But in Rust, you just cannot do it because in Rust enums are a range of numbers. No duplicate values are allowed. So the workaround to this problem is to use defines in header files, this header file. So we use the preprocessor Markov to define level default to level high, so we can kind of bypass this problem in miss a link. And this one, because as I said, C enums are just integers, so if you're trying to convert a C enum to a Rust enum, don't use transmute, because if you transmute an integer to a Rust enum, you may encounter some kind of undefined behavior. So if the value is not in the range of the Rust enum. So what we do in MesaLink is we use the from into treat to check if the value is in the range. So it is not it is level undefined here. So always validate a C enum before you convert it into a Rust enum. And this one is pretty interesting. I will share with you. So in MesaLink, we sometimes need to get start char pointers for some names on of some enum variants. In Rust, we can do it easily with derived debug, and we can use something like this format a column question mark to get the name of the variant. For example, compression levels, like level high, level low, level default, something like that. But in order to leak a pointer of it, it's become very hard to do so. So we actually struggled quite a lot. We have several attempts. So the first attempt, we just use the formatter. It allocates a string on the heap and return a pointer, and we cast it as a raw pointer. But as I've said in tip 2 and 5, it's not right because the allocated string does not outlive the pointer, so basically a dangled pointer here. So in our second attempt, we learned something from our mistakes. So we start to use C-string. So the string is probably terminated with a null character at the end. And we unwrap and we interrupt a leak pointer. So now the pointer has a longer lifetime, but I would say it works, but it allocates memory on the heap. So it may lead to some memory leaks. So please see our tip 5 and 6 for that one. So basically, we find it's very hard to do so. And finally, we came up with our own crate with procedure macros and custom derived. So find our crate on Chris.io. And it's pretty easy to use. And here are some external tools we find pretty useful when we write Rust FFI code. Please give them a try and see if they fit our needs. So for example, I always use WarpGreen to find memory leaks caused by improper use of box into raw. And Cargo Clippy's lints often give me surprises about writing idiomatic Rust code. And also, it helps me avoid some unnecessary unsafe code. and some acknowledgement on the materials I found pretty helpful. So the Rustonomicon is definitely a must read. And Michael Brown's unofficial FI book provides me useful insights into error handling in Rust and C, and also some tips about integrating cargo into the CMaker build system. And my thanks also go to the previous talk on RustFest and RustConf, so many excellent talks on this topic. So a quick recap. So tip one is about checking pointers. We use some magic bytes as type identifier to do so. Tip two is about conversion between C and Rust types. So we mentioned about strings. And tip three is about cutting C pointers from Rust objects like strings or some anything like anything. And tip four is about raw pointers, not for bypassing the bar checker. I showed you a counter example, so do not do that. And tip five is about memory allocation and deallocation. Something bad can happen if you are not aware of it. And also, FFI code watch for panics because unwinding positive boundary is the undefined behavior. And tip seven is about converting file descriptors like integers or libc concom file pointers. Tip eight is about copying data from C into Rust. I showed you three methods to do so, and I prefer the third one. And tip nine is about converting C nums into Rust, and the final one is about external tools. And this is it. Yeah, thanks for coming to my talk. Yep, and I'd like to take any questions.
Okay, sorry for that. Do we have any question? Right?
Yeah.
There.
Do you have any tips for handling C libraries that internally use static mutable state?
Pardon me?
Whether do you have any ideas about how to create FFI bindings to libraries that internally have static mutable state, because I actually have such use case that I use library that has static mutable state, and well, that it's tough to do in Rust. So whether you have any advice on this?
So personally, I don't know if such queries exist. I know some good ones like EasyFFI and also like CBindJam price, a good example of automatically doing so. I don't yet, but we are still working on this direction.
Thank you.
Other questions?
There's a hand over there.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for the talk. I'm interested to know your ideas on how you handle errors across the FFI. For example, when you're dealing with C code that is using like status code, and how you convert that back to like proper Rust errors. And also, if you're doing the other way around, if you have something that's calling Rust via FFI, how would you handle
So the on errors? The Rust side, we have in Metalink we have several macros to help you turn a Rust result to some like C error code, because OpenSSL use error codes, basically integers. But Rust has its results and also some like errors and failures, this kind of error handling creates. So basically at a boundary, we convert them between. From Rust to C, as I said, I have the macro doing so. And from C to Rust, we defined a few from and into traits implementations to convert the C error numbers to some Rust errors, so we can use to we can
okay.
use more.
Thank you.
Other question?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, we're done.
Yeah.
Great.
We're done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.